The following is a presentation of Project Independence and WCWP. Project Independence is the Aging in Place Initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. We provide programs and services designed to assist and support the older town residents who wish to remain in their homes as they age. If we don't currently provide a service, we will try and connect you to that service. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome to Project Independence and you.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Otto Loos.
Good morning,
and
John.
Having Otto Loos in the studio, it's better than having Santa. Unbelievable. He himself is a gift.
I took my arc here today.
Some weather. Unbelievable out there. But it's an amazing thing. But, you know, fooling around saying Otto is like Christmas. One of the things that Otto and I are going to talk about just for a few minutes is the importance of watching out for yourself during the holidays, whether it's food, whether it's being scammed financially. You know, it's the holiday season, and people should enjoy themselves.
But there are other people who want to be jolly on your behalf.
Very well said, and it's very true. And then you wake up the following morning. You know, I like to be a trusting person, as I know Otto is.
Right.
But there comes a point when you get a phone call and you give into it for somebody who needs a little something for toys for children or something like that. Your heart breaks. And then you realize there was no toys for children. It was drugs for somebody or whatever they did. They scammed you.
I really have gotten down to the point where, first of all, always use caller ID. And
right.
If I don't recognize the phone number, I do not pick up the call at all. Why? I mean, why should I pick it up? They play games now, too. They will use a phone number that looks like it comes from your neighborhood. Like my area code, 516-616, right, is a New Hyde Park area. And you get phone calls that have 516-616, so you think it's somebody from the neighborhood.
Right.
Well, you pick up one of those calls and you find out that's a scam, that they can make up phone numbers almost instantly. I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
Right, I agree.
And the phone numbers are changed all the time. And you can't even block them out. Like some people tell me, oh, well, I put that number in my phone and it blocks it out. Well, next time they'll have a different phone number. So the bottom line is, if you didn't call them and you don't recognize the phone number, don't mess with the phone call,
right,
whether it says a charity or whatever.
Well, family and friends and business things you have to deal with, or doctors, whatever it is, you're right. You should have the number in your phone that comes up as a name. Mine is, you know, I put down, if it's Victoria, I'm going to put down Victoria. So the number comes up, I know who it is. Or you recognize the number that a hospital, someplace you go that just, you know, it's one of the large numbers that comes out of the phone bank. Otherwise, I tell people, why do you answer the phone for? They'll leave a message. If they don't leave a message, you know it was garbage.
But even then, we recently had a phone call with a, I'll use the hospital name. It said Winthrop.
Okay.
Well, it wasn't Winthrop when we picked the call up. It was some other,
really?
You know, somebody trying to do something, which I said, we're not interested. And, you know, you really have to be very cautious.
Wow, that's amazing. I didn't hear that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's true, because last week, Otto wasn't here last week, the AARP put out a study that in 2019, which is a couple of days from now,
right,
they're expecting 50% of all cell phone calls to be scams, going by the numbers to date in this year, 2018, that they're just coming in. You know, now my phone sometimes puts scam likely on it. I don't know if you've seen that. I get a scam likely on some of the numbers. But it's amazing that you have to be very, very careful during this time of year. And that's even giving to organizations, because they try to, like I said, toys, food drives, all these different organizations that are worthy of a donation. But they have to be real. I've told a story before. There was a Great Neck Breast Cancer Association. It wasn't real in Great Neck. They got $500,000 over X number of years versus their real breast cancer, you know.
Well, one of the things that I do with somebody when they give you a good story is, okay, send me something in the mail.
Right, right.
All right, period. And then I'll consider donating something.
Right, but that's what you have to do. You know, but because they're all worthy organizations. One of them is Island Harvest. Island Harvest is a wonderful organization.
That's a good
where
set.
If they reached out, you know, and I don't know what their style of getting funds is, but they really chose something.
Maybe we'll find that out.
We should. Maybe we'll find out from...
Allison.
That's who we're going to find out from. Allison, who is from Island Harvest and is one of the community resource people.
I'm the Vice President of Programs and Agency Relations, okay. And Taisha, who is also joining us.
Taisha is part of SNAP.
Yes, she's all the right. Supervisor of the program.
Okay, terrific. So Taisha and Allison are here from Island Harvest, and it's an organization I know about. I've never really actually gone to one of their sites, but I've heard about it from many, many people. And thank you, ladies, both for coming. And give us a brief update. You know, even though Island Harvest is known, just go over what Island Harvest is.
Sure. Island Harvest is a food bank here on Long Island. We've been around since 1992. And so we have grown substantially over the last few years. We are able to distribute about 10.5 million pounds of food into the community. We do that through our programs, which could be our Kids Weekend Backpack Feeding Program, where we help the most vulnerable children in the schools. There are roughly 90,000 children who are getting free reduced lunch every day at school. And
that comes from Island Harvest is delivered to them or something?
No, those kids receive the free reduced lunch through the school district.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
We work with the teachers, social workers, and principals to identify the children who don't even have food in the evenings or the wow. weekends to be able to get through.
Is that the weekend backpack program?
Yep, that's the Kids Weekend Backpack Feeding Program.
Right.
And so then we have other programs such as Taisha's program where we're helping people to complete the SNAP application. SNAP is Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. It was formerly known as food stamps. A number of years ago, they changed the name to market it as a nutrition program so that it could take the stigma out of it.
Of course, that
and
makes
also
sense.
Educate the people to know that they should be making healthy choices with the food so that they can, you know, really make sure that they're helping their bodies.
Right. Okay. Let's go to Taisha for a second. And the question was, we're going to come back to Allison also, but how did you get involved? Before we tell me about the SNAP program, which is important, how did you get involved in Island Harvest?
I've been in the industry for about 18 years, and I came on board with Island Harvest about 4 years ago. I saw their mission, and, you know, it's just attracted me to want to be part of that organization and is, you know, the... And here I am.
Good. No, that's important. We always talk about that. You don't want a person to say, guess what, I needed a raise.
Yeah.
And they were willing to give me $20 more a week, so here I am. You want a person that enjoys doing what they do and feels the mission's important. Go through the SNAP program. A person who's listening was an old food stamp person, but they're not even, you know, not anymore, whatever it is, but they need something.
Okay, the old conventional way would be to go to the Department of Social Services, fill out an application, and go through the application process. If someone wants to apply for SNAP, it's based on income. So they would call Island Harvest. We would do a brief intake, establish eligibility. If the client is comfortable and would like for us to move forward with the application, we will submit it for them online electronically. So which means that the client does not have to go to Social Services for anything. We would do the application from beginning to end. The client does need to answer a phone call that they will receive from the Department of Social Services and documentation thereafter. But again, we will assist the client from beginning to end with the application process. We also help with recertification, which is the renewal of the benefits.
Okay.
A lot of people sometimes need assistance with that, so we will assist with that as well. Now that the winter season are here, we also help with the HEAP application, which is Home Heating Assistance Program, which is a dual application. So if someone wants to apply for SNAP, they can also apply for HEAP. And we will do it again. We will do the application from beginning to end. It's just a brief intake. Like I said, we establish eligibility. If they want us to move forward with the application, we'll submit the application for them without them having to leave their home. They don't have to go to the Department of Social Services. So it's a simple and easy process. A lot of people are intimidated or may have had a bad experience or whatever the case is. But a lot has changed in a good way. The eligibility standards have gone up. So if someone applied in the past and now they're, you know, hesitant, they can give us a call, and we'll be able to answer any questions
that
they may have.
You know what? Also, and then I give it to Otto. What I like about it is there's such a stigma in my mind if you had to go to one of these government offices and they're on the line and you see the waiting room is 1,000 people, and it's just to go and actually wind up talking to somebody, because you seem very sweet, and be like, oh, it's terrible that you have to do it in the first place in this country. Mm-hmm. But since you do, you might as well have a helping hand that is at least kind versus like, what are you here for, and fill out the form.
Well, I recall going back a little earlier in the years, there was a big stigma connected to the fact that people would walk into a store and they had to have a book with stamps. They literally did have stamps. And unfortunately, in our society, we have people that look down on people who have that problem, not understanding maybe it could happen to them, but for the grace of God.
Right.
That problem, from what I understand, is the visual problem is not there anymore, because they now get a card, right, like a credit card.
Like a debit card, absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
It's a debit card. It gets every month the client will get their benefits on that card. It rolls over. If they don't utilize all of the benefits at once, it doesn't get taken away.
Okay.
One of the analogies that I like to use with clients and also volunteers and interns is that the benefits are there. You worked for these benefits. It's an entitled program. You're not taking it away from anyone. One of the examples is if it came time to apply for Social Security, benefits, are you not going to apply for those benefits because you're embarrassed or someone else can utilize it? Of course not. So, this is something that we kind of like to, let everyone know that this is an entitled program and you can utilize them in the time of need.
What world are we in as far as income goes? Just rough number, where do you have to be below?
So they base it on the federal poverty income guideline of 130% and 200%. That's what they utilize to establish eligibility for SNAP. So that being said, it all depends. So if you are a person who has a disability, someone who pays for child care, adult care, you fall into a certain category, which gives you a little bit more of a wiggle room to get approved. If you fall under the 130% federal poverty income guideline, the income guideline is a little lower. But again, they can call us and we can pretty much establish eligibility. It literally takes 3 minutes on the phone and we'll be able to answer any questions.
Well, let me give you an example. Suppose somebody is making $25,000 a year and they're not disabled. Would they be?
So there's some factors that kind of we would need to know how many people are in the household. So
okay.
It could be
that's kind of what I'm looking for. Like
right.
What,
So if it's, let's say, a family of a family of two.
The one I'm thinking about is a family of one. It's not me, but it
okay.
is a friend.
A family of one.
Yeah.
I would say based on the income that you mentioned, they would be eligible to receive it.
Okay.
And like I said, there are other factors. So if they're paying for out-of-pocket medical expense, such as prescription, over-the-counter, vitamins, medical equipment, service pets, those are things that are also taken into consideration in regards to the eligibility. So someone may say, well, I make too much. However, they may not know that if they include those factors, they may be eligible.
Right. Well, let's stretch it a little further. Let's say this person has cancer, and because of that, they have the need to get medications and whatnot.
They would be a great candidate to receive the benefits because they essentially either have a lot of medical expense or will have a lot of medical
right.
expense.
Are they on Medicaid?
No.
No.
Should
Medicaid,
be, maybe.
Medicaid and SNAP are not the same guidelines.
No.
Right.
But
so that's
a guideline, in my mind, the person would wind up on Medicaid anyway,
yeah.
under $25,000, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm not putting them together.
Mm-hmm.
But Medicaid, as I understand it, has nothing to do with food.
No.
Right?
It's a federal program. It's just
yeah.
another.
It's a federal program, but under $25,000 in income, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
Then you can get prescription medication.
I'm familiar with it from a nursing home point
right.
of view.
Right. Okay. Same concept.
Major reason people go on Medicaid, I think. although maybe they don't have any money either. That's a good reason.
You know, we have to take our first break, and when we come back, we can find out how you can use Medicaid to get into a nursing home and then use your SNAP money to have a party in the nursing home, okay? You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.